Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Hey, how you doing today? It's a kind of cool, cloudy thing happening here in New York City on May 23rd, 2012. But I'm liking it. It's a good time to relax and put on some cozy clothes, make a nice pot of tea. I like organic fair trade varieties. Pour in a little soy milk creamer and sit back and listen to me and my guests talk about my favorite subject and maybe one of your favorite subjects, food. And as you know, on this show, we often link together the environment, people's health, animals. We talk about a lot of different subjects on this show. Today, I just want to make it easy, joyful, peaceful, lovely, because so many people have food issues. And what I like to do is let you know that you don't have to feel guilty about your food. If you choose fresh, organic, mostly locally grown, delicious plant foods, and there are so many things to do with them, and that's all we talk about on this show, there's no guilt. It's good for your body. It's good for the environment. It's delicious. Okay, so let's just spin a lot of joy today. And I'm going to be talking to two very lovely, lovely people, J.C. Cochran and Ray Sikora, and I'm going to read a little bit about them. J.C. Cochran co-founded and served as president of Edge Michigan, the state's largest vegetarian organization, for 7 years. He is a retired fire captain, paramedic, training officer, and has a B.S. in emergency medicine and is certified in the Living Foods Lifestyle. Jim is also a certified fitness instructor and former softball champion all-star. He has been leading life-altering programs on health and the environment for over a decade now. His talks empower people to make informed and lasting changes in their lives. Since retiring from the fire service, Jim has been busy starting and developing several other successful outreach organizations. He co-founded Plant Peace Daily, founded Santa Fe Veg, and co-founded Veg Fund, an international organization which helps vegan activists spread the word through food and other means. And then we have Ray Sikora also, and she's been a spokesperson for animals, the environment, and human rights for over 30 years. Her programs have been changing people's vision of what is possible to create in our lives and in the world. She has worked internationally with participants ranging from teachers, students, and prisoners to businesses and activists. As co-founder of the Institute for Humane Education, Ray created interactive critical thinking tools that are now being used by people around the globe. She holds degrees in cultural anthropology and environmental education from the University of Wisconsin. Ray draws from years of experience to help individuals and groups discover how implementing changes personally, locally, can bring about positive change globally. And she, too, is the co-founder, co-director of Plant Peace Daily and Veg Fund. Welcome to It's All About Food, you two.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, how are you doing? I love reading all this stuff. You two have done, like, so many different wonderful things.
Oh, and we love doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm just laughing because you're talking about this chilly weather and put on something cozy, and we're in New Mexico, and we're stripped down as far as we can because it's really hot.
So isn't that crazy?
But I love it.
That's the world we live in. And and there are some places where they're hotter than they typically are and colder than they typically are, and it's never assume anything.
Yeah.
But the weather's been really spectacular the last year in New York and New York City. And, you know, I don't like to say global warming is the cause of it. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Whatever it is, I've enjoyed it, and I've taken advantage of it. It's been very moderate and lovely, and often
we heard you had a fall winter.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I was just at my co-op annual meeting yesterday, and they were talking about all the money they saved on fuel over the winter because it was a very mild winter. So it's been really lovely here.
Good.
But it's hot where you are.
We're enjoying it, though.
Yeah. So what's mm-hmm. going on? What kind of peas have you been planting lately?
doing our usual 24/7 activism, a little bit of sleep mixed in and lots of eating mixed in and lots of hiking.
Okay, now we don't want you not to get enough sleep. Because you have to be healthy and strong in order to spread this beautiful message.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so where have you been most recently?
Well, we're in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we are busy working to veganize Santa Fe because that's the kind of town we want to live in.
What's that going to take?
Well, we started a group. We've got already 70 members, and we're doing all sorts of education and outreach, and we're going to be doing cooking demos and just the usual fare that we do and whenever we settle into an area.
Yeah, right. We've had some really great film and discussion events with we showed Vegucated, we showed Forks Over Knives. Did we show any other films yet?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, more to come.
Well, that's the exciting thing, and I know that you've been doing this for a long time, as I have decades and decades. But there's so much out there now, many cookbooks, and there are more films to show, and the Internet is there 24/7 with all kinds of great information. Does that make it any easier?
Oh, yes. In fact, Ray was just saying the other day that, you know, when we first started in this movement, we thought we knew every single vegan in the world.
Me too.
And now we can't keep up with all the books, the blogs, the websites, the authors. You know, there's just so many things going on.
You know what I think, Karen? Like, I think that it makes it easier, both personally, it makes it easier because you feel like there is sort of this trend toward compassion and healthy eating and caring about other species, like the whole thing, and caring about the environment. There's already a trend going that way, so it makes it, personally, it's nice. It's like, oh, good, you know, our community is gigantic. But also in terms of our work, it makes it easier because say we're doing a program and they've already heard some of the information from watching Ellen DeGeneres or one of the other popular places where they're going to hear about this. We're not having to just like plant the first seed all the time.
Yeah. And the thing about change, especially changing our diet and changing our lifestyle, we need to hear the information over and over and over, packaged in many different ways for
exactly.
it to get nourished and grow and finally go from our subconscious to our conscious and enable us to take action. It takes a long time.
Right.
For many people, it does, yeah.
Yeah. So
I think for anyone, when there's new information, you know, at first you hear it, you can't take it all in. It's almost like the information is around the corner. You haven't even walked to the corner yet. So you're on your way, and then eventually you go, oh, yeah, I heard that before 5 times.
Now yeah. Well, it's so hard to understand what makes us tick as human beings. But I think so much of it is so ingrained in all of our cells. We have 53 trillion or more cells in our bodies. There's so much fascinating science information about what goes on in our cells all throughout our bodies, not just in our brains, how cells all throughout the body have memory, our organs have memory. There's all kinds of just intense, interesting things that we're at the tip of the iceberg in terms of comprehending. And, you know, when we're babies, we take in all of this environment around us and things become a part of us, really. And so when somebody comes along and says, no, that's not a good thing, you know, we have this 53 trillion community of cells that don't know what to do with that information.
Exactly, exactly. It's like a foreign language. I've often thought that there should be like a travel guide to veganism because it is like this foreign culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's different food, different language. It's just a different culture. And wouldn't it be cool to have like, you know, like the Fodder's Guide to Veganville or something like that?
Don't tell her that. That's your next book.
What is that? Tell us. So what has your approach changed over the last three decades? So what are some of the changes that you've made?
Yeah, I think we can probably answer that separately. We've both been doing this for so long, and with our, we've come from two very different paths. You know, Grace, you've been doing activism and outreach for a long time, and I have, and we have had very different venues and different ways of doing it. And now we've come together, and ours have a lot of overlap now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a way, it's sort of like we brought together those decades, and that's why we wrote our book, Plant Peace Daily, because it was like, ooh, you have all those outreach ideas, I have all these. We can be more than some of our parts, which is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, mine started out, I think it was, when I first started out, it was much more in your face. It was much more, I know the right way to do things, and I don't care how long it took me or how much my experiences led me to where I am. I want you to understand this in 5 minutes. What took me however many years.
You're right.
You know, that's how I used to be. You know, like, how can you not get this in 5 minutes? And now I really realize that everybody has their own path to it. I'm just one little part of their path to it if they come across me. And they're one little part of my path toward learning more about what they do. And it's impossible for someone to get in 5 minutes what took me 56 years of my experiences to get to.
Yep.
And so much more now I do inviting instead of fighting. You know, I invite people to this very joyful possibility that they could feel good physically. They could be making choices, you know, in all of their lifestyle choices, they could be making choices that support animals and the earth, their cultures, their own health. And do it in a way that satisfies, like, whatever it is that they love, you know, fast and wise or comfort food or all those things. It's all there now. And so I love inviting people to this possibility. So it has a lot more joy for me now than it used to. You know, it still has the dark parts of knowing what's going on behind closed doors. There's a lot more joy in it now, just inviting people to
I agree with that. That, you know, I understand how people are angry, and there are people that finally have that epiphany and are angry and start where we started so long ago. And the numbers, I can't say the numbers are getting better. You know, as the population grows, we hear how more animals are being killed every year for food. The last thing I heard was 65 billion land animals, I think.
Yeah.
And just gets bigger and bigger. And, of course, our health costs are going up for all these unnecessary, chronic, reversible, preventable diseases if people would eat healthy. And then, you know, we've got this environment that's not looking very good. And it's really hard to just, like, want to smile. But I really believe that that's the way to do it. Invite and not fight. I like that. I might steal that from you.
You can steal it. It's all yours. And, you know, if you think about it, like, think about the community you would want to join. Would you be more attracted to a community of angry or unhealthy people, or would you be more attracted to a community of people who seem really joyful and very grateful for their lives and are strong and healthy? Like, that's much more attractive. You know, it's like community.
I know what I want. It's what I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, JC? What's changed for you?
Well, and you know, a lot I have learned actually in the last 6 years having lived with Ray. And that is one of the most important things I've learned, is that when you speak with people, rather than presenting your own point of view, to question theirs, you know, and ask them questions about why they take points of view that they do, and just be inquisitive, and you know, by opening up the conversation and making them the focus of the conversation, they're much more apt to be agreeable to you and willing to make change.
Now, you're working there in New Mexico. What's your style these days of getting people interested in what you want to talk about, and what are just wondering what are the big bullet points for you when you're talking to people about what's important?
Well, almost always when, you know, when you're doing a tabling event, people will come up to you, and then in many cases they'll you know, they're open to the idea because they wouldn't have come to your table otherwise. But there are some people who are actually come up to a table, up to your table, and want to be confrontational about
Absolutely.
It. That's when you want to be able to, instead of reacting angrily to somebody who's come to you in an angry fashion, is to turn it around and, you know, question, you know, why it is that they feel that they do. Ray's got some really wonderful stories and success stories of people who've really turned around as a result of just being inquisitive and finding out what it is they, what's important to them, and then asking if these things are in alignment with their own personal beliefs.
Isn't it amazing how powerful love and respect can be?
Yeah, we had this woman who came up to our table, and she said, "Oh, I'm kind of a vegetarian." Well, I am a vegetarian, but I eat chicken.
And oh, the feathered vegetable, that's right.
Exactly. And I said, "Oh," I said, "how did you choose chickens as the animals who you would eat?" She said, "Well, you know, chickens." And I said, "Yeah, what do you mean? What about chickens?" And she said, "Well, you know, they're really stupid."
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, I have a really different experience of chickens. You know, that they're not at all stupid. So tell me about your experience of chickens." And she just stopped in her tracks. And she looked at me. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, what's your experience with chickens?" And she said, "Well, I don't have an experience
yeah.
with chickens." And I said, "Oh," I said, "do you want to hear about some of the chickens who I know?"
No.
And she said, "Sure." And so I told her about some of my favorite chicken friends, and they're not only brilliant, but they're caring, they're loving mothers, they'll give their life for their kids, you know, just like a lot of humans we know. And they're just brilliant. So I told her about some of my favorite chicken friends who I'm close with, and I told her this, and you just saw her face kind of change.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looked at me, and real quiet, she said, "Oh,
mm-hmm.
I guess I don't eat chicken anymore."
Oh.
You know, just that sweetness, you know, that she was even open to it.
Right.
You know, but I just think it's, you know, most people, given the environment to really look in their heart, they don't want to be making violent choices or cruel choices or choices that hurt the environment. So, like, just asking people a few questions, it's really, for me, it's helpful for me because I understand them more. And for them, it gives them an opportunity to kind of clarify for themselves, "Oh, why, I wonder why I really do that." You know, like I was tabling for Earth Day and a woman came up. I was showing, you know, the Farm to Fridge film, the 4-minute one from Mercy for Animals.
Oh, sure.
So I was showing that on a continuous loop, and an older woman came up to the table, and she said, "This is awful.
Mm.
This is awful. We do it the kind way."
Mm.
And I said, "Oh, you know, what is the kind way?" And she said, "Well, they send the women and children into the house, and then they shoot them in the head."
Oh, there you go. That's
you know, and I said, "Oh." I said, "So why, if it's the kind way, why do they have to send the women and children into the home?" And then she couldn't really take it. She did take in that question, and then I think she got it, how maybe it's not the kind way.
Yeah.
And then she kind of kept muttering, "This is awful. We do it the kind way." And I said, "Oh, you know, my family's decided to do it the kind, what we think is the kind way, and so we decided we don't have to kill them unnecessarily. You know, so that's what we've done is our kind way." And then this kind of, she took some literature and then she wandered away and she was still muttering, "We do it the kind way."
Oh, yeah. Well, those were her 53 plus trillion cells that were confused and responding because
exactly.
For decades that's what they've been told.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was sitting at lunch today with my partner, Gary. I think we've been together about the same amount of time that you two, about 6 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So we should celebrate some time together with some good food.
I would love that.
And we were just reminiscing about when we were both really young and we used to like to prepare food, and we were not vegetarians a long, long, long time ago. And I remember making rock Cornish hens, and I liked them because they were cute. They were little. And I did not connect the dots at all. I just thought they were miniature versions of this larger thing that we would eat, and it was cute. And
mm-hmm.
it's I, you know, some people, when they see that, they make the connection ultimately, but it mm-hmm. wasn't my time.
Yeah, and isn't it like that? It's like, you know, when I was a child, I was just known as the animal lover, you know, in our house, in our community. And one day we're at my aunt's house, and I am making a tongue sandwich. Tongue.
Yeah, tongue.
Like a lunch meat. And mm-hmm. so I'm making the sandwich, and my brother says, "Don't eat that, it's tongue." And I said, "No," I said, "it's not really tongue." He said, "It's tongue, it's tongue." And I said, "Mom would never feed us tongue." He said, "Go ask her." So I go to my aunt's kitchen, and my mom's in there, and I said, "Mom, what's tongue?" She said, "It's tongue, it's a tongue." I said, "Who's tongue?" Like, I couldn't believe he was feeding us tongues. And then he said, "It's a cow's tongue." I said, "No, I'm eating a tongue." You know, but I can't tell you how many tongue sandwiches I ate before I could hear. I finally heard it, and I was like, "It is. It's tongue." You know, there's no other reason they would call it that.
Yeah. Well, I remember tongue, and I don't know if I ate it or ate many because the thought of it was really repulsive. But then why is it that we accept eating some body parts and not others?
Yeah, right.
Right.
It's like just cultural.
You know, I sometimes see that in a advertisement, breast or thigh, and I'm like, okay, that's right out there. That's pretty blatant.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, if you're used, if all your trillions of cells are used to hearing it.
And you know, for almost 38 years of my life, I was eating everything, probably except coffee.
Everyone, but, too.
Everyone. Yeah, everyone. I'm sorry. But, you know, that's, I was 38 years old when I finally woke up and
yeah.
realized, and there's so much misinformation and there's such a lack of information, of good information out in the world. And that's beginning to change, particularly with social networking now. And I think that may be responsible for the number of vegans having doubled in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I really think so. It's just things, I'm really banking on this internet social networking thing to exponentially make improvements. I mean, we
right.
really
right.
need, we don't have time on our side, and things need to happen quickly. But I was just reading about smoking recently and thinking about how long it's taken to get improvements in smoking. So when the Surgeon General in 1964 put out his first report linking smoking with cancer, it's taken 50 years or more to go from half the population smoking to 20% of the population smoking.
All right.
50
mm-hmm.
years.
We're not the brightest species. We're kind of slow learners.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I was just working in the Middle East, and I was working with Arabic teachers there and principals on compassionate living and bringing it into the classroom. And one of the principal said to me, "Ray," it was right when we were starting, "Ray, you're not going to be saying that that animals are superior to humans, are you? Because humans are superior."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, I am so open to that idea, but I haven't seen proof of it yet." And then he said, "Well, it's everywhere." And I said, "Well, do you see this pile of trash I have on the stage?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "That came from the beach in Netanya. I collected that off the beach yesterday. And no other species left this trash there. This was all humans leaving plastic and nylon and tar and, like, just the kinds of trash is amazing. styrofoam. I have a huge mountain of it on the food. I said, so it's things like this that make it a little bit hard to prove our intelligence. I said, you know, so maybe over these next days, you can find a way to prove to me that humans are intelligent, and you can be open to the idea that other animals are intelligent. He said, okay, Rick.
Okay. Well, why do we have to be better?
Right. Right. And why is intelligence a measure of worth anyway? You know, it's really impossible to measure the intelligence. We were just talking about it today. If you don't share culture and language, you can't measure intelligence. And it's not a measure of worth anyway.
Well, there's so many things that we don't understand about animals. We have so much to learn from them. You know, how do some of the sea animals navigate in the water? How is it that the birds navigate the way they do? And I was recently in Costa Rica, and I am so fascinated by all the life that's there, especially the leafcutter ants, just watching them so focused, and they're communicating on a level that I don't understand. You know, they've got some special Wi-Fi thing going on there.
Exactly. I just did an experiment with them. I was hiking in Utah, and there's this ant expert. His name is E.O. Wilson. And E.O. Wilson says they communicate by chemical trails.
Mm.
And I thought, I think it's more than chemical trails.
Yeah.
I think they have some sort of telepathy. So we were camped in this one spot in Utah, and I put little pieces of bait down, and then one little kind of puddle of water. And where I put it down, I watched what their reactions were, and the ants far away started to move really, really fast, but they had not passed any chemical trail.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to go crazy, moving fast, and they all, like, are charging toward the baits. And I thought, wow, look at this. And I just pulled up a chair. I watched them for hours until it got dark to watch what is their communication like with the different hills, the different holes. And they were communicating with each other with no chemical trail for sure.
I'm not an expert about them, but I was told that when you kill the queen ant, they all die.
Oh, I've never read that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, check that out, because, I mean, that would be extra proof about this telepathy thing. But the point is there are millions of different species out there, and we could be learning so much if we weren't so arrogant.
Exactly. And there's a thing called zoo pharmacology, and it's about how the animals know how to find the right medicines in the wild. There's a book called Wild Health that's all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now humans are finally going, okay, you know, beyond tribal people who have always known to watch other animals to see what they choose for their diseases, now other people, other than tribal people, are going, oh, these animals know. They know what plants to eat when they're in labor, when they're sick, when they need minerals. Let's watch them.
Right.
Those dumb animals, you mean?
Yeah, before we destroy them, let's learn something from them. Okay, we just have like less than a minute left, so what do we need to do? We should go to plantpeacedaily.org, read everything there.
Yes, Ab, so before you do anything else,
we also have our book for free as a PDF on our website. We want people who want to make change in the world get this book and start making some changes.
Okay, where do I find the book?
You go to plantpeacedaily.org and go to our shop. And
store.
On the shop, there is a link to the book in PDF form, or you can get it as a Kindle download for 99 cents.
Pretty good.
And you can buy the book online and on Amazon.com as well if you want a hard copy.
Okay, great. Thank you, JC and Ray, for
thank you, Kara.
Being you.
Thanks.
And doing all this love stuff. I love it. Thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. So guess what we're going to do now? We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be talking about what I love most, which is delicious food, with Drina Burton, author of the new book, Let Them Eat Vegan. We'll be right back.